Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for dropping in for another episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. Whether you download or stream the show, we sure appreciate you being a part of the Be Our Guest podcast family. Today, Pam and Ricky are going to join me for some fun Disney talk. But first, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel, a platinum earmarked agency. They are a fee-free agency, which means you don't pay a dime for all the great services they offer over at the Magic for Less. All you need to do today is drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great specials, whether you want to go to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, sail with Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. An agent will get back to you right away, and you'll be planning that next Disney adventure and supporting the show at the same time. So let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. As we make our way through this holiday season, please continue to support the Be Our Guest podcast using our Amazon affiliate link. It's really the easiest way to support the show. You just go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. When you click that link, it takes you directly to the regular Amazon page. You get all your same Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, but each purchase does help support everything we do here on the show throughout the year. So please, during this holiday season, bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1573 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Bum, bum, bum. We made it to another weekend. Happy Friday to you. Just got to put in some time here on a Friday. And man, I know this is a rough week because this time last week, we're just kind of eating leftovers, chilling, watching football, and having a good old time. What's up with this having to go back to the real world and work? The good news is holiday season. It's fun. Christmas decorations are up. You get to see Christmas lights on the way home from work. I don't because my commute is down the stairs, but I do
get to see them behind you.
Boom, right there. Got the Christmas tree. That's Charlie Brown behind me here in the studios. Monorail under it. Stocking from when I was a kid. Hanging by the fireplace, which we finally have at the new place. So, yeah, life's good. I mean, I can't complain because I know folks have been socked in with a blizzard, and they're talking about three-hour commutes where, you know, my worst traffic nightmare is that I stubbed my toe on one of the steps. So,
I'd say falling down the stairs. Yeah,
that'd be bad. It's 14 steps and it would be ugly at the bottom. So, yeah, that would not be pretty. So, joining me today to have some fun Disney talk to kick off this weekend the right way, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
You know, I don't know what you're talking about a full work week. I'm not at work today. So I'm actually in the beautiful state of Missouri as I go to celebrate Christmas with my in-laws. So I'm just saying, I had a four-day week this week.
Are you going to be in central Missouri the whole time?
I will be in central Missouri for part of the time.
You're going to be in St. Louis?
I will be in St. Louis for Friday, which is today. Cool. Yes.
So, yeah, we should have dinner sometime.
I think we leave after dinner. And Mike, we're going to your least favorite place, Ruiz's, I'm sure.
Ruiz, I got a new place, La Carreta.
I mean, I have to go home and get my Mexican that I miss. So yeah.
I am going to go up to Las Fuentes though for Christmas because on my birthday, this is how much Las Fuentes misses me. They sent me a personal shout out on Facebook, like on their page, Feliz cumpleaños, Miguel. And so
that's awesome.
I don't get on Facebook much, but Pam saw it. She's like, Mike, Las Fuentes, like, send you a personal birthday message on their page.
We miss you. Please come back.
It was awesome. Fantastic. All right. So today we're going to have some fun. This show is kind of sparked by, obviously, Rise of the Resistance. We record our shows on Monday, so we're hoping it is online and everything is working out today.
Yes.
Kind of crossing our fingers. We're assuming that it is. And also kind of the thought of this Imagineering series on Disney Plus has me thinking a lot about the why of what works when it comes to a successful theme park day for us. You know, I think we take for granted that we go down and we enter the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or the studios or Animal Kingdom. And I think most of us walk out thinking we had a successful day. And when I think about this, I wonder what a successful day is. Is it, you know, 7 attractions, a nice lunch, and maybe seeing a parade? Is it, you know, 22 attractions and, you know, having a meal at, say, Tiffin's, or, you know, I think it depends on what your goal is and what your personal preferences are. I think that's a big thing. But it's all about, it's not just headliners, but I think it is important that we have things like Rise of the Resistance. So kind of before we start jumping into that, Ricky, when we talk about a successful theme park day, like, what comes to mind for you? Like, because everybody's got different goals. Yours are way different than mine a lot of times.
Absolutely. And mine, I, you know, as hard as I try, I still have trouble breaking the habit. For me, a successful theme park day is visiting the most number of attractions I possibly can. Which, you know, like I said, I've been there so many times at this point, which I know sounds like I'm rubbing it in, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be. But, like, you know, when I am blessed to be able to get to go down there a lot, and I know that. And, you know, but I still have that mentality of the fact of how it was when before I could get down there all the time. Like, I haven't been able to break that mentality of I have to see, you know, X number of attractions. I have to go, you know, here, and here. And I've gotten better over the years, but it still is something that I have the habit of. And is very, very, very hard to break for me. So I play the Fast Pass game a lot in order to be able to get the most number of attractions that I possibly can in a day. And that's kind of how I make that a successful thing, is by being able to do that. But I mean, I do take it a little easier sometimes, you know, grabbing a longer meal or, you know, whatever. I don't really do parades. I'm not a parade girl unless it's like, you know, unless I'm paying for it, which is, you know, for the parades, for the hard ticket events, I'm paying for those. So I will stop for those. I don't really do the fireworks that often and the nighttime shows. It's hit or miss for me. So, like, that's not important in my day. It really is about seeing the attractions. And of course, being there with, you know, my loved ones, you know, you guys and my brother and my family and, you know, stuff like that. Like, that of course is important as well. But yeah, for me, my most important thing is still to this day hitting the most number of attractions I possibly can.
And that's why I love Walt Disney World. That's why I love this various podcasts, because we all have different ideas. You know, I have to see, I love seeing fireworks at the end of the day. I love nighttime parades like Spectrum Magic. One of my favorite things ever, you know, totally miss it. Main Street Electrical Parade in the Magic Kingdom. That's successful when I get to see those things. Illuminations back in the day. I still like Epcot Forever. Excited for Harmonious. So that's kind of, you know, we're going to have this discussion today. And with Rise of the Resistance opening, probably, I would guess, Disney's most ambitious attraction ever. As they've said that this thing is just, the show building is immense. The amount of technology they've thrown into this thing is unprecedented. I think it's important for Disney to do this, but I mean, we're going to also talk about, as I've thought about this throughout the last couple months, smaller attractions like Enchanted Tales with Belle are just as important to me as a Rise of Resistance. We'll have this conversation here over the next 30 minutes or so, but the reason that Rise is important is, one, Disney, especially if you've been watching the Imagineering story on Disney Plus, is you really kind of dive into the archives and you see the what happens behind the scenes at Imagineering, which, you know, I've listened to Wedway Radio, and I got to thank Nate and Matt so much.
Yes.
Because basically they've done this series. I mean,
yes,
over the last 10 years. I mean, really, I feel like
I know
names that I wouldn't have known because of Wedway Radio.
Absolutely.
And I know stories and backstories because of the research they've done and they provided to us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can't thank them enough, because that is a show that is hard to do. It's hard to present all that information. They've done it so well. And I love audio podcasts. I've always been like an AM radio guy, where I can picture things in my mind. But now seeing this video on the Imagineering series that goes along with these stories that are kind of familiar, I'm getting different angles on them. I'm getting extra information. I'm really into this. I'm loving it. But the thing is, you know, we talk about a successful theme park day and big attractions like Rise. Disney has always been somebody, as a company, and Walt Disney himself, a technologist and somebody who wasn't afraid to fail.
Right.
I think it's just harder to fail nowadays with social media and the immediacy of, if this thing didn't go off as a hitch, and again, we're recording before it officially opens on December 5th, we're recording on Monday. But I mean, any small thing, you get these people who will nag about it or be negative and they have agendas. And I'm not saying everything has to be rosy. But I mean, when you're doing something as big as Rise, something is going to happen. It's not going to be perfect. But man, the thing is, Disney has to do this. I mean, this is what they've always done. This is what they need to continue to do. I don't want them to always play it safe, because when they play it safe, we're getting robbed of things like this, which I think is going to be a great experience. I'm hoping to see it in January. So, I mean, where do you fall on that with, you know, this is going to be, it's going to be huge. It's going to have hiccups. I'm sure it's going to have hiccups.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Disney's got to do this, right? They have to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they have to do these huge e-ticket type of attractions with, you know, pushing the technological envelope. I mean, they've been doing it since the days of Walt. I mean, you know, when you look back at the Imaginary Store, and if you know the history of things, I mean, you know that the Matterhorn had never been done before. I mean, there was not a steel coaster like that before. They had not done it in a mountain before. You know, like, there was nothing like that. And they took a chance on that. They said, you know what, let's do this. Let's, you know, let's not be scared. Let's put something like this in. And I'm glad to see that Disney still feels comfortable pushing the envelope in this regard. Now, again, you know my theories and my takes on the fact that I'd like to see them pushing the envelope on things like this that are not related to IP. But that's another story.
But it's a safer, bet. I mean, because of your, everybody's going to love this just because it has the, you know, Star Wars associated with it.
Well, yes, but I mean, you know, that's not a sure thing all the time. You know, I mean, especially if you look at the internet nowadays, you know, the fact that it's Star Wars, it's not necessarily a sure thing anymore. But I mean, with all that being said, yes, Disney does still need to do these kinds of attractions where they push the envelope, because, you know, I know that you don't necessarily like Universal, and, you know, I know that this is a Disney podcast, but as someone who does go to Universal, having that is, I think, a huge, in Disney's backyard, is a huge thing, because it does push them to do things that they maybe wouldn't have been pushed to do. I mean, Hagrid's is an amazing coaster. It is fantastic what they've done. It pushes the boundaries of a coaster idea. I mean, what they did there is phenomenal. So with that being said, I mean, you know, let's be honest. We wouldn't have Star Wars Land if it wasn't for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I know, and that's, you know, I'm totally fine with that, because I've never read a Harry Potter book, never seen a movie. I've gone to the land. I did visit the land. I thought it was pretty neat. I didn't understand a lot of the story,
but
it was immersive. I mean, and I'm glad it exists, because then we get these wars, and the wars are good.
Exactly. And the wars are good. So, but what I'm saying is I don't know, you know, I'm glad that Disney feels the need to be pushed because of things like that. Like, I am one that is so excited about the theme park wars, because it just means it's better for everyone. Everyone gets to be more creative. Everyone gets to push the boundaries and do things that are more intense, not intense in like thrill or, you know, something like that, but like something that they just didn't think that they could be able to do. You know, they try harder to do things like that. So in that regard, you know, I think that Rise is going to up the ante, and then Universal is going to come back with something that's just as phenomenal, you know, and then it's going to cause Disney to. So I'm all about this. Like, this is what I love. So yes, to answer your question though, I think that attractions like Rise are absolutely necessary for Disney to be able to still be able to do, because they need to push that creative envelope for themselves, for the park, for everyone. So yeah.
And the thing about it right now is I've been trying to avoid all the spoilers, because, and there's a lot of, you know, footage out there. Because, I mean, you know, say I wasn't going for a year, I might try to just check it out and watch it. But I'm going down in January, going to get to go back for Princess. So I'm hoping to get to ride this, and not even ride it, but experience it. A couple
and
times at least.
Christmas, and I'm trying, you know, like, yeah. So I don't have as many weeks to go as you do, and avoiding it is going to be really difficult. So, yeah.
I'm pretty good about it. I mean, it's, but the thing is, you know, I'm a football fan. So I look at it like with Rise of Resistance is like your downfield 50-yard bomb. It's a really flashy play. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you connect for a 50-yard pass, it's going to be, you know, a touchdown most times. This is what might win the game for you. You know, like, you don't typically win the game on an off tackle run. However, those are important runs, because the run sets up the pass in football. It's low risk. You know, you're not gonna throw an interception when you hand the ball off to it. You might have a fumble, but it's lower risk. A pass is high risk. When you're going downfield, it's, you know, way less chance that it's successful. I think Rise, and I think Walt Disney World as a whole, needs, I think what works is that they have a lot of just a mix of stuff. But the thing is, I hope that they don't go away from creating things, like I said, like Enchanted Tales with Belle or Navi River Journey. You know, like that is not talked about a lot, but that's a solid, solid attraction, which it's kind of the counterpoint to Flight of Passage, which makes the land way better. So I hope that not only are they, you know, looking at when we get, because I mean, we've been looking forward to Rise forever, like on the horizon. I know they're looking at like the new roller coaster over at Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. It's going to be huge, e-ticket, but also some smaller stuff, which I, you know, Ratatouille, do we consider that smaller? It's e-ticket. I mean, that, but that's a big one too. I mean, I hope that there's smaller little things coming along the way too.
And that, yeah, I think you're right. Disney does need to make sure they balance everything with those smaller type of attractions. They are not flashy. They're not what everybody's talking about, but they are so necessary, you know, in making a well-rounded park experience. You know, yes, Navi River Journey, it has some flaws, of course, but it's still a good attraction overall. It's still immersive. It takes you into the story and sets the scene of what you're experiencing. I think that, you know, it's still necessary. Again, look at Toy Story Land. You know, they have Alien Swirling Saucers. I mean, that's not an e-ticket by any stretch of the imagination. That is definitely... you know, maybe a C ticket attraction, I would say. But it's still necessary to have something like that in that land, in that park, because really, I mean, goodness knows, there's not a lot of like, there's shows, which, you know, that's all fine, but there's not a lot of C attractions in, you know, Hollywood Studios that are like that. You know, you've got walkthrough attractions and like Star Wars Launch Bay and stuff like that, but you don't have any, like, you don't have a lot of sea level attractions in Hollywood Studios, and that's something that I think is missing a lot in Hollywood Studios, and something I hope that they address moving forward. I think that part of the problem is nowadays everybody expects and wants that e-ticket attraction, and anything less than that is a failure. It's not, but according to, you know, the Twitterverse and everything like that, if it's not an e-ticket, it's not worth it, which is 100% not true. I think that all of those type of attractions are necessary. And I do think that that's something that is maybe missing in what are, you know, you mentioned the what's coming, you know, for Epcot. You get the Moana experience, which is definitely not, you know, that's a walkthrough experience. That's, you know, an A-ticket. You know, Ratatouille is definitely along, since I have been on it, it is more along the lines of a, you know, an E-ticket, maybe D-ticket attraction. I might go D. You know, so you've got that. But look at how many E and D-ticket attractions are in Epcot right now. You know, there's not a lot of, like, you know, you've got Living with the Land, and you've got Finding, you know, or The Seas with Nemo, and you've got, you know, Imagination Now, which, of course, that wasn't that wasn't a, you know, C-ticket attraction when that was built. You know, especially if you went on the original Imagination, that was definitely an E-ticket attraction. But when they killed it, I mean, that definitely turned it into a C-ticket attraction. You're going to have the Play Pavilion, which it's not going to have, I mean, that's going to be a lot of A and maybe B ticket attractions there. It's not going to be anything like spectacular there, but
it's important to have that stuff all there.
It is.
It's super
absolutely
important. Just as much as, you know, the Guardians coaster, it's complimentary, you know? And like,
absolutely.
I think the thing is too, like you're kind of talking about this, you're making my point, is that I like what they did in Galaxy's Edge. Now, you know, if they really wanted to go the full thing and it would have screwed up the whole theming of the land, I mean, they could have put like a spinner X-Wing attraction, you know what I'm saying? Like a Dumbo with X-Wings. And then you have, right, you know, a minor attraction. But I'm glad they didn't do that, because it's all about immersion in Galaxy's Edge. But I think Smuggler's Run opening, say these both open at the same time, which I think they meant to happen.
Oh, they absolutely initially. Meant to open at the same time. Yes, yes.
You basically have Rise of the Resistance as your flight of passage, and yes. Smuggler's Run is just a little bit of a souped up Navi River Journey. It's a step up, but Rise is like your big, big, big headliner, and Smugglers would be kind of a secondary. Now, it's still an e-ticket attraction, but a secondary e-ticket, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they meant for it to be lesser. Let's put it that way. I think that they wanted it to be, you know, along the same lines as what Rise of the Resistance hopefully is and will be. So in that regard, maybe they missed the mark just a touch. But, you know, I think it's still an e-ticket attraction. It's just not... It's not hitting necessarily like an e-ticket attraction is, but you know, maybe that will all change with Rise of the Resistance opening and people finally, hopefully getting to the land, you know, and now that everybody's put off their trips, or a lot of people have put off their trips, you know, till 2020, to be able to make sure that they got to see Rise of the Resistance as well as, you know, Smuggler's Run. So, you know, hopefully with people starting to trickle in with that, that will make the attraction more of the e-ticket, you know, Smuggler's Run more of the e-ticket attraction that it's Disney intended it to be, let's put it that way.
So how excited, or not excited, but when you saw that the height requirement for Rise of Resistance came out as 40 inches, which is not tall. I mean, basically this is a family attraction, which I'm excited for. I mean, that I think that's good, but I mean, I think it's going to be more about show and effects than the traditional thrill of like a drop or flipping you upside down. I think it's about special effects. It's about immersion, but it's about perceived danger. It's almost like an Ellen's Energy adventure, but just like souped up to the 10 degrees higher, you know, I think.
I agree with you. Now there is a drop in Rise. So
it's a small drop on the app though. Small drop.
It is a small drop. It just depends on your definition of small drop though. I'm one who does not like drops. So that's why I was nervous to go on Hagrid's, because there is a small-ish drop in Hagrid's. But that's why I don't ride Tower of Terror, because I don't like the drops in Tower of Terror. So I'm nervous about how big this drop is going to be in Rise of the Resistance, because I really don't like drops. So if I know it's coming and I can, like, if I can mentally prepare for it, I'm okay. But, you know, that's why I don't do well with Tower of Terror, because I don't know how many times I'm going to go up and down. So I can't mentally prepare for Tower of Terror. But I can mentally prepare potentially for a drop that I know is going to happen. So that's good. But I don't want people to go into it thinking, oh, there's not a drop, because there is. So in that regard, yeah, I do. But I do think that it's more of an experiential attraction. And I do like that they're going with that. You know, I think that that's good that they're going back with something like that. And it's more about seeing the whole overall. I think that that's going to be a really good thing for the entire family, you know, more or less.
What I'm guessing too with that drop is that since they're saying it's a small drop, I mean, that's what it says in the ride summary on the app if you look at it now. And they're also encouraging you we try to throw in tips, download the latest version, update your Disney Parks app, because I think it's going to have a lot of stuff in the queue.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be waiting a while, so have that just available to you, stuff to do. But I think the thing is, if the story and the effects are such that the drop isn't like a Tower of Terror drop, it's just like you're like ducking, you know, like the vehicle's ducking from a TIE fighter about to take your head off. Like you're physically dropping, but in the story, it's more of a reactionary thing, like on Dinosaur.
I do know a spoiler. So
don't say it.
I won't, but it is part of the story. I can tell you that the drop is part of your story. So I hope that's not too much of a overshare, but yes, the drop is part of the story. So.
And like Justin says here in the live chat, and he nails it right here with this comment. He says, for him, an attraction being quote pushed is more about being immersive, creative, and the storytelling. And that last word is what Disney does so well. Yeah. You know, the thing is, like when I see who was it, like Tony Baxter or somebody talking about, and this is again on those old Travel Channel specials Disney did about the parks. He talked about when Star Tours, you know, they started doing that for Disneyland. They were working with George Lucas, and he's like, man, when I was watching that original episode 4, you know, the Star Wars, he was in the theater and he's like, God, if I could just feel what it felt like to go down that trench and blow up the Death Star. You know, it was like Luke's making that final run, you know, Darth's on his tail, Han Solo's out there in the Millennium Falcon clearing him for his last shot. I mean, like, you're in it. You're so invested in the movie theater. But if you could just feel the yoke in my hand and I could feel the you know, just the G-forces as I'm getting ready to take that shot. And that's what Star Tours did. And I think that's what's exciting is that, you know, now that we have this new generation of movies with the episode 7, 8, 9, like, God, what would it feel like to take on the First Order and to be in the Resistance? And I think this is going to take us to level, like, I mean, this is going to be as close as we can be to being in the movie.
I absolutely think that is correct. I think that this is 100% going to be the closest that it will be to, you know, being in the movie. And that's what, you know, kind of is like, ah, dang, Hollywood Studios, why'd you get rid of all the movie making thing? Because you could really take that to this, you know, attraction, and it really is making you feel like you're in the movie and you're going along with the story. You're an extra on the set. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they could have just tied that in so well. I mean, I get the whole live your Star Wars story thing and what you're doing and, you know, Galaxy's Edge, but this would have worked so well with the old with the old Hollywood Studios mentality. So well.
That's
so
true.
Well.
Those days of fun. But, you know, talking about big, huge attractions along with minor things that make the Walt Disney World experience what it is, make it a whole. The thing is, when I'm walking through Galaxy's Edge, after I've gone on Rise of the Resistance, or even before, or even while I'm waiting in the queue, seeing things like Chewbacca walking around, or Rey working on a spaceship as I approach, you know, that is what's selling the entire story. It's not just, okay, when I get in line for Rise of the Resistance, I'm preparing myself for an experience. What I like is when I walk into Galaxy's Edge from Grand Avenue or going through Toy Story Land, what have you, the environment changes, the sounds change, the color palette changes. And then when I, you know, encounter Chewbacca just kind of walking through the land and checking things out, or Rey, or, you know, First Order Stormtroopers, all of a sudden, I'm definitely not in Toy Story Land. I'm definitely not in Hollywood Studios anymore. I'm in Batuu. I'm in the Star Wars universe. And that gets me, that stuff has to be there. And it has to be there 3 years from now. It can't just be there for December of 2019. It can't just be there for February 2020. If this land is to be successful, and there's, you know, there's two major attractions, then you can buy a lot of stuff. You know, you can yes. build a droid. You can build a lightsaber, which is all costing you. Buy blue milk. There's a lot of cost. Yeah, yes. You can eat food. Which is fine. I mean, I get that. But the thing is, the environment of those characters that you know and love walking around and staying in character, and hopefully maybe in a year we'll have X-Wing drones flying over. Who knows? That'd be sweet. That'd be awesome. Oh, my God. That's like my dream. But, you know, TIE fighters flying around. And then, oh, God. That'd be unbelievable. But the thing is, that stuff has to be there, because without that, it's not as enriched. You know, it's not a rich experience. It's a cool experience. But, I mean, what I would talk about when I go home is, you know, Rey snuck up behind me and asked me, you know, First Order coming around, like, I need to get out of here. You know, as I'm getting ready to ride Rise, you know, it all works together, that you can't have the big without the small, I don't think.
That's 100% true. And I hope that once Rise opens and they start getting, or, well, now it is open, but, you know, they start getting, you know, people in the land and stuff like that, I hope that they start incorporating more of that type of thing into the land to really make it well-rounded, you know, because that is such, that small stuff like that is such an integral part of the story of the land. You know, I hope that they can do more, you know, shows with, you know, Kylo Ren, you know, with his, you know, what is this thing called? Mike, you got to answer my question.
His what? The Force?
His ship, little thingy, the black thing?
It's like an Imperial, like, okay. I don't know what his name, it's just Kylo Ren's ship. Yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't know if it had a name.
It probably does, but I don't know.
Okay. You know, like, I know they have the ship there, like, and I know they have the stage, and I know that they sometimes do shows, but maybe, like, have it happen kind of on a more continuous basis. And, you know, I've seen, you know, Rey and Chewie and trying to repair the ship, but maybe do that on a more continuous basis. And I know that they have spots for other kind of shows and stuff. Like, I hope they do those things on a continuous basis, because that is, you know, it's what makes, it's streetmosphere. It's Streetmosphere for Galaxy's Edge. It's, you know, we talk about so much about that Streetmosphere makes Disney's Hollywood Studios what it is. You know, you go into Hollywood Studios and you see the citizens of Hollywood and, you know, you get sucked into their shows and it's fantastic. And there's so many of them and they all do such a fantastic job. That needs to be in same kind of idea needs to be out in full force in, you know, Galaxy's Edge. I know they have a little bit of it, but they need to bring in more of it, I think, to really bring in that story of this is a real working planet and people are here and they're a little strange and, you know, never know who's good and who's bad. And I feel like that kind of thing needs to be brought more into Galaxy's Edge. And I'm hoping that that's something that they will continue because that is the small things that are very necessary to a land like that to make it successful. So.
And the cast members do such a good job that are you know, doing the characters in Galaxy's Edge. They're amazing. They really are telling the story. They're not out of character one bit. It fits perfectly. Like, it is exactly Streetmosphere for Galaxy's Edge. And, you know, as I see the citizens of Hollywood out on, you know, Sunset or Hollywood Boulevard or right at that intersection, what it gives me is that if I catch a movie on like Turner Classic Movies or, you know, AMC or something like that, it inevitably, as you're watching that movie, you're wondering what would it have been like to be around in the 40s or 50s and that kind of society or that kind of a, you know, big ball, you know, something like that. And when you have those characters there dressed in that time period costumes and acting like, you know, old glorious Hollywood, which probably didn't exist, but I mean, it does for that day.
It exists in our minds, yes.
I mean, what it is, it's changing your time and place, and you're allowed to escape that for 20 minutes, you know, and you're in a movie, and you're that's what Galaxy's Edge does.
I feel like I'm in old Hollywood.
Yeah,
and
it's awesome.
You know,
that's
when I'm on Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard, like, it really feels like I'm on old Hollywood. So
I agree. So I'm excited for this, but I mean, as important as Rise is, and it's the bomb, you know, it's the Hail Mary, and I'm hoping it's going to be a huge success. And I'm glad Disney's doing it, and they need to keep doing stuff like that. I mean, I think they are doing it because think about the Star Wars hotel. You know, they're rethinking, because I keep seeing articles. This is not a hotel. This is an experience destination. Which, I mean, that, you know, there's risk in that. But not a huge risk, I don't think. I mean, I think people are going to be dropping money like crazy on this thing. But Disney, if anybody can do this and get away with it, I think this is going to be the start of, you better bet that Universal's looking at this and saying, man, how can we do that? I don't know about the Harry Potter books, but do they have a hotel, spaceship, something they can stay on? I don't know. Like a big book? I don't know.
Well,
a bar?
I mean, so they could, if Universal wanted to do, and let's put it this way, it's not Universal who would want to do this. I'm sure that they are like begging. But the person that they would have to get the okay from is J.K. Rowling, and I don't think that she would okay this. Knowing the type of person that she is, she's very protective, and I really don't think that she would okay it. So that's who they would have to appeal to, and it's just, I don't think it's gonna happen. But I could easily see them doing like a building a Hogwarts and you going to the school and you know having going around and going to lessons, and you know, I think that would be awesome. You know, like, that is what appeals to me, and that would be so cool to be able to do that. But again, I definitely don't. J.K. Rowling's not signing off on that. There's no way that's happening. So, but it would be really cool
so
if it did. But it's not happening.
As we close out the show, let me ask you just a couple of your favorite minor attractions. I think the best one in the last 5 to 10 years is Enchanted Tales with Belle. Because nobody, like, you walk past it and you don't even notice it. I do that all the time.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I do too.
It's so hidden away. I mean, it's right across from Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which I saw Snow White for the very first time this week.
Good movie. Did you like it?
I think it'll be a good movie. I think it'll make it. Yeah, I think it'll be successful.
You think it's going to stand the test of time?
Those movies are violent back in the day. It's all about death.
Yes, so good,
though. And Dopey doesn't talk. I didn't know Dopey didn't talk.
Yeah, no, Dopey doesn't talk.
I didn't know that. I run that dude's race every year, and I had no idea.
Yeah, no, Dopey doesn't talk.
He's cute, though. All right, anyway, off track, though. But I think that's a great attraction because it's innovative. Like, you walk through a mirror, you know, like you're immersed in the story. You play a part. It's a meet and greet at the same time. It's a lot of stuff, and it's very underrated. But the thing is, it's minor because you don't hear about it. But I think everybody needs to do it. Like, if you're not doing it, you're doing yourself a disservice. You don't have to do it every trip, but every person on the first trip needs to do it. Because it's the best of Walt Disney World to me. I also think living with the land is a solid one. Now, like, they spice it up for the holiday season, kind of add to it this year. But I mean, we need like smaller stuff like that that tells, it makes your overall Disney day. So what about you? What about some minor things that are important?
Number one for me is Country Bears. Country Bear Jamboree is hands down my number one. You know, it's corny. It's dated. It's fantastic. I mean, it's just, it's so awesome what they've done. And, you know, when you think back to the fact that this is an original opening day attraction and it still stands the test of time. I mean, overall, all things considered, I mean, it's maybe not for everybody, but I still laugh, you know, like there are still things in that attraction that make me laugh and things that I didn't get as a kid that I certainly get now. So, you know, like, I think that that is an attraction that is for all ages because you enjoy it as a child, although I didn't because it scared the bejeebus out of me because I thought the bears were going to eat me. But you know, as now as I've grown up and have stopped being afraid of animatronic bears, I've learned that it is a fantastic, fantastic attraction. So Country Bears is absolutely, I think, my number one. You know, I still have a place in my heart for Figment. It's not the same as it was. I know that. It hurts me that it's not. But, you know, again, it has a place in the park. I think that, you know, I do think that something like Navi River Journey, you know, that one, again, it has some flaws, of course, but it is so necessary at Disney's Animal Kingdom because there really is nothing like it at Animal Kingdom. I mean, there are no slow moving dark rides in Animal Kingdom, period. So adding something like that to the park is huge. So I think, and super, super necessary to Disney's Animal Kingdom. So I think those are kind of the ones that kind of stick out to me the most.
What I'm noticing too is there's like a lot of yin and yang to this. Well, hang on real quick, because like with Navi River Journey, you have Flight of Passage, kind of yin and yang.
Right.
With Enchanted Tales with Belle, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, kind of a yin and yang, right in the same neighborhood. Country Bears, Splash Mountain, thrill ride, show.
Absolutely.
I like that. A lot of them, and I think that's important, like to keep the balance. I'm not trying to be Joe Rohde here and think about balance of a theme park. I didn't even think about that until five seconds ago.
No.
But I mean, there really is kind of a, you got to have it all to what else are we going to add?
I can't believe I forgot my absolute favorite attraction, and that's the TTA, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority.
The yin and the yang to Space Mountain right there.
Yes, exactly. Like you, like seriously, the TTA is so fantastic. It is hands down. Did I go to Walt Disney World if I did not ride the TTA?
No.
I mean, honestly, like I get on that attraction no matter what, just about every single time. Like I can't miss riding the TTA. I mean, I will wait in line for the TTA and it makes me sad. I mean, it makes me happy that there's a line now in the afternoon, but it makes me sad as well because I'm like, dang it, I remember the days when I just walk on this thing.
Seriously. Dang internet.
Yes. So, but I'm glad because it means that other people are finding the joys of the TTA and that means that maybe they won't tear it out, which makes me happy.
That's true.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, but here's the most important part. Over the weekend, we want you to drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Let us know your favorite minor attractions and kind of, you know, chime in with your thoughts on this discussion that where big, innovative e-ticket attractions like Rise of Resistance, hugely important, going to be, you know, game-changing, I think, for the theme park industry and huge for Disney. But also, how about those minor attractions? What do they mean to you? What are your favorites? Let us know over on Facebook, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So if you want to support the show, the next time you're going on a Disney adventure, whether it's the Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Adventures by Disney, hey, take a cruise on the Disney Cruise Line. You get an awesome onboard credit to spend like cash during your cruise. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials, see all the planning tools. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. Put as much information as you can in that quote. I will get back to you right away as long as you mention the Be Our Guest podcast and you and I will be planning that trip. And I promise to take great care of you and get you the best price possible every time. I love our listeners. I love helping you out with your trips and it really does help support everything we do. So again, themagicforless.com and let them know you heard about them here on the show. Also, as you do that shopping this holiday season, Amazon has our Amazon affiliate link and they help support everything we do. So BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark it on all your devices. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra. Again, thank you so much for using it. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike and Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, December 15th, Sunday night, probably at 7 o'clock Eastern. We'll kind of work on the time. Holiday traditions. We want you to call in and share that so we can take that show with us over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house for all of our holiday celebrations. Kind of a big family get together for the Be Our Guest podcast family as we round out the holiday season. And I'd love to hear your tradition. So again, December 15th, Sunday night, join us for a live call-in show, Holiday Traditions, here on the Be Our Guest podcast. All right, it's time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Monday with another great trip report. But until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, whatever you do, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.